Hello and welcome everyone to this deep dive. Today we're looking at a statistic about Morocco that, honestly, it made me pause. It's ranked 32nd out of 42 African countries in the 2025 African Women Integration Index.
Hello. Yes, it's a ranking that certainly catches the eye.
It really does. And you might be wondering, like I was, what this really means for a country that, you know, has actually taken quite a few steps towards gender equality recently.
Exactly. And this index, it's put together by the African Center for Development and Integration of Women. It's a tool designed to measure how integrated women are across different facets of life.
Like what specifically?
Well, it covers education, access to employment, political participation, and social rights. So our mission today really is to understand the story behind this ranking, the progress and the persistent challenges.
Okay, so Morocco has undertaken some pretty significant reforms over the years. How do we square that with this 32nd place ranking? What does the index actually tell us about the situation for Moroccan women compared to other African nations?
That's the core question, isn't it? While there have been advances, definitely things like the 2004 Family Code reform, efforts to get more girls into school, this index suggests that overall, the integration is lagging behind some other countries on the continent.
So it's not one single thing then?
No, not at all. To really get it, we need to look closely at the different pillars the index measures.
All right, let's start with education. The analysis we looked at from Little OJ IMAG does highlight some real progress there, particularly getting girls in rural areas into school. They mentioned social aid programs, school transport. Those seem like positive steps.
Absolutely. And those initiatives have made a tangible difference in primary school enrollment rates for girls. That's clear.
But there's a but coming, I sense.
Yes, there is. The analysis also points to a persistent challenge, the high dropout rate among adolescent girls, especially when it comes to moving on to secondary and higher education.
Okay. So getting them in the door is one thing, keeping them there is another.
Precisely. And you have to wonder about the systemic factors, you know, the socioeconomic issues, maybe cultural pressures that contribute to this dropout rate, even after those initial efforts.
The article does mention those socioeconomic and cultural factors limiting girls continuing their studies. That's a major hurdle. Okay, let's shift to another key area, economic participation. The figure there is pretty stark.
It really is.
Only 21.5% of Moroccan women are part of the active population. That's quite a bit lower than the African average, isn't it?
Significantly lower, yes.
So what are the main roadblocks there?
Well, it seems to be a mix of things. The article points to persistent cultural barriers that might discourage women from working or perhaps limit the types of work considered acceptable. There's also a noted lack of specific support for women entrepreneurs.
So starting a business is harder.
It appears so. And on top of that, you have the ongoing issue of wage inequality between men and women. Plus, a really important point is the vulnerability of many women working in the informal sector.
Meaning less security, no social protection.
Exactly. No safety net. It makes you wonder, if you compare with other African countries, perhaps with similar cultural contexts, but higher female economic participation, what different policies or support structures might they have in place? That could be worth exploring.
That's a really interesting point.
Okay.
Okay, what about political representation? We know measures like quotas have been introduced to get more women into legislative bodies. Has that translated into real influence?
Well, the quotas have definitely increased the number of women in elected positions. The figure cited is 24% of deputies in 2021, which is, you know, an improvement.
But
the index and the analysis of it suggests that their actual presence in higher level decision making roles and their real influence on policymaking remains limited.
So numbers on seats don't automatically equal power at the table.
That seems to be the implication. It raises questions about how much impact this underrepresentation has on shaping policies that could actually advance equality.
And another crucial point raised is the gap between urban and rural areas. The reality for a woman in, say, Casablanca is very different from someone in a remote rural region.
Fundamentally different, yes. Women in cities generally have much better access to education, healthcare, job opportunities, everything, really, compared to women in rural areas.
You really have to consider those different realities within the country itself, then.
Absolutely. You can't paint the entire country with one brush. Understanding these internal disparities is key to grasping the full picture of women's integration challenges.
So given this picture progress in some areas, significant hurdles in others, what does the analysis suggest Morocco needs to do to improve its standing? What are the recommendations?
The main thrust is the need for stronger public policies focused squarely on gender equality. This isn't just about tweaking things. It's about more ambitious measures.
Like what, specifically?
Like adopting much stronger measures to combat all forms of violence against women, actively promoting and, importantly, supporting female entrepreneurship, and ensuring truly equitable political representation, not just in numbers, but at all levels of decision-making.
So more decisive government action and concrete steps are needed across the board. Okay, bringing it back to that 32nd place ranking, what's the main takeaway message for you?
I think the article frames it well as a signaled alarm, a wake-up call, essentially. It highlights an urgent need to really intensify efforts for the full, genuine inclusion of women in every part of Moroccan society.
So acknowledge the progress, but don't get complacent.
Exactly. The progress made is undeniable, certainly. But the path towards real substantive gender equality is clearly still long and requires sustained commitment.
Right. So to quickly recap our discussion, it seems clear that while Morocco has made some important strides, especially in getting girls into primary education, major challenges persist, particularly in economic participation and political representation. And these challenges are often amplified for women in rural areas.
That sums it up well. The picture is complex, with both light and shadow.
And that really leaves us, and you, our listeners, with a crucial question to think about.
Indeed. Considering these ongoing challenges, the economic barriers, the political underrepresentation, the rural-urban divide, what do you think are the most impactful levers? What actions could truly accelerate the integration of women in Morocco?
And crucially, how can we ensure that any advancements benefit all women equitably across different regions and socioeconomic levels?
That's the key question for the future, isn't it? Something important to reflect on.
Thank you for walking us through that complex picture. And thanks to everyone for tuning into this deep dive. We'll be back soon with another exploration.